What does the Holy Spirit look like? Welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring issues of faith and the Bible. Our discussion this week centers on the Gospel of Luke, and more specifically, a lesson entitled, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Prayer. My name is Paul Dibdahl. I'm joined by Pam Kress, a professor in the School of Social Work and Sociology at Walla Walla University, and Daryl Bigger, a professor in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. I'm glad you both are here with me today. So, what does the Holy Spirit look like?
You know, the question puzzles us because of the word spirit, I think.
I think you're right.
Why are we mystified by this?
Would it be better if I used the word that I grew up hearing more frequently? What does the Holy Ghost look
well,
like?
Well, yeah, because that's exactly where I go in forms of ghost, kind of a filmy smoke kind of presence or something with a light filtering through a thin veil or something.
And the mystery is intensified because the form in which the Spirit has come has been in different kinds of ways, right? The creation story talks about the Spirit of God moving over the face of the waters. We talked earlier about several weeks ago.
In this book, in Luke.
Yeah, about the dove coming down on Jesus. Then we look later on in what Luke writes in his next book, the book of Acts, at the tongues of fire. So all of these things are described as being the Spirit. No wonder we're mystified.
Yeah. Is it important to have a mental, is it helpful to have a mental image of what the Spirit might be like? If I were to ask, about God the Father, do you have kind of mental picture of God the Father? Are those helpful or not helpful to have? I said a concrete mental picture, which I guess doesn't.
Yeah.
And does it? I've always assumed that it would make a difference to people who need concrete things, who think concretely rather than abstractly.
Abstractly. Are you saying you think abstractly versus
concretely? I'm kind of in the middle there, I think. So I have these sort of ethereal views of what it may be.
Well, I think I do the same thing. I jump around in my head and often think of God the Father as someone with long hair and big booming voice, but at the same time, an image of my own father's face conjures up when I think about that, which is very interesting and probably could be very troubling to some people who maybe didn't have a good, earthly father relationship. And of course, we think we have pictures of Jesus because we see all these pictures, but they don't necessarily speak to who Jesus really looked like or who he was. So maybe we don't need a concrete visualization.
Yeah. And I don't think we do. I think it's unfortunate. I think it's unfortunate that early in my life, the way I heard the Holy Spirit referred to was Holy Ghost, because I liked Jesus. I had a good sense of God the Father as a father of love. But the Holy Ghost, I just wasn't so sure that I wanted a big part of that. And I think it was that term. Luke emphasizes the role and importance of the Holy Spirit in his gospel. In fact, right near the beginning of the book, we read that John the Baptist announces Jesus and says, he will baptize you, that is, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? That seems important in Luke. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that?
Well, and he talks more about that in the book of Acts as well, the being immersed in the life of the Spirit, having the Spirit become the passion that drives us and the shape of how we express our witness of God.
I'm just thinking, every morning I tend to, or at least several mornings a week, talk in terms of, in my prayers, of asking his Spirit to to be part of who I am and to come into my life. And I like the way you just suggested that being of me ultimately being able to be who I am. And at the same time, it comes out with Jesus' spirit of character, of love and of kindness and of graciousness, which I'm not capable of doing on mm-hmm. my own. So mm-hmm. I like that particular picture of mm-hmm. Spirit's work.
In Luke 11, Jesus promises that the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Mm-hmm. So what you describe, Pam, is, I think, very biblical, that we would pray for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And my next question, I was thinking ahead, was going to be, well, what would that look like? But you kind of described that as well, I think, as what we might expect. The Gospel of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus also has a statement about the Holy Spirit that I think has puzzled a lot of people and even disturbed a lot of people. In Luke 12, Jesus says that anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven.
Is this sort of the unpardonable sin?
Sometimes people refer to it as the unpardonable sin or the eternal sin. Help us to understand what Jesus may be saying there. Have I committed the unpardonable sin? How would I know that? Mm-hmm. Sorry, Gerald, you were going to begin.
I was just going to say that probably the most common answer that I hear is the most meaningful to me, and that is that if we intentionally and repeatedly and ultimately exclude the influence of God in our lives, we have eliminated the positive consequences of the Spirit working and living in us. So I see that specific reference in Luke more as describing consequences of choices that we make than some kind of scary, unknown something that we might make the mistake of doing. I think it's a very intentional, deliberate, repeated rejection of wanting God's influence in our life.
If someone was worried and afraid that they had committed the unpardonable sin, what would you say to them? Would you, in a sense, have given an answer already, mm-hmm. I suppose. But wouldn't that concern itself indicate that they had not committed the unpardonable sin? Because they're still open somehow. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here as we're having this conversation remembering very vividly when I was in the seventh grade, convinced I had committed the unpardonable sin, but not understanding what that was, and remembering asking my own pastor the same question, and him saying simply what Paul said: as long as you're open to that and you're asking God and you're and you're wanting to know His will, you're in favor here.
Sure. Outside the Gospel of Luke, but in the Gospel of John, John in the 16th chapter describes the function of the Spirit and says that the purpose of the Spirit is to help convict and convince us of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. And if we have those kinds of regrets or concerns, that's evidence that the Spirit is doing its work.
Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Conviction was the word I was looking for a few minutes ago, and that is exactly it.
Is it overstated to say if you're concerned that you might have committed the unpardonable sin, you have not? Or you wouldn't be worried about it.
Or you wouldn't be worried.
Yeah.
I think I think that's helpful. I think that's a helpful perspective. Luke doesn't just emphasize the Holy Spirit, obviously, but also emphasizes prayer. In Luke, Jesus prays at many of the key moments in his ministry. At least he's recorded as praying in many of those key moments. Why did Jesus pray? If he is divine, if he's God, is he praying to himself? Why would Jesus pray?
I find it helpful for me to restate what I already know to be true, to remind myself over and over about the decisions I've made and the commitments I've made. And I think there's some of that with Jesus. It's a reconnecting with his identity.
And it's the relationship, too, with with mm-hmm. his father. Mm-hmm. There's a conversation that's happening there. Mm-hmm. When my own father, who I just referenced earlier in this conversation, died, I remember somebody writing us a condolence card that said, God is going to miss him, which impacted me a great deal because I thought in terms of, well, yeah, I'd never thought of that. My father used to pray to him every single day, and they had this relationship going similar to what we're describing here as Jesus' relationship mm-hmm. with his father. And, of course, he would miss the conversation. So mm-hmm. maybe that's more of a human element for us, but I mm-hmm. think he needed to do that for that and the mm-hmm. encouragement mm-hmm. he gave.
And Jesus is doing that is an indication, again, to me, of him experiencing life as we human beings do. The mm-hmm. need to stay
the need
in contact
to stay in
with
contact.
God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, prayer isn't just a matter of, here are my list of requests, but I like that fellowship, that companionship element that you both have highlighted. Hmm. We don't have much time left, but I want to ask one final question about what we often refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus' disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus gave them a kind of model prayer. Is there a phrase that seems especially significant to you in that well-known prayer, either one of you?
I go to the give us this day our daily bread as a reminder to trust God to take care of. It's not begging for us to be irresponsible, but committing us to take some risks, mm-hmm. to find a way to reaffirm our confidence in God.
I like the very beginning of the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke begins it with the word Father.
Mm-hmm. Father.
And I realize, you've touched on this, mm-hmm. Pam, but I realize that for some people that's problematic because of their experience with the human Father. Their experience hasn't been a positive one. I think there's a sense, though, in which even if that hasn't been a positive mm-hmm. experience, that we still have a sense of what a father ought to be. Mm-hmm. We sense a lack or a loss because of our experience. And to be able to call God Father and to know that he is a good father,
mm-hmm.
I'm very thankful that we have the privilege of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Daryl and Pam, for your willingness to think about these questions together today. I'd like to also thank David Olson, our program engineer, and thank you for listening in. For Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.